from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, we continue broadcasting from Chiefs training camp. Practice in the books today, and they will not practice here again until Monday as the Chiefs head back down to Kansas City and then ultimately travel to Jacksonville on Saturday for the Chiefs' first preseason game. We heard from Andy Reid. He said the plan, at least, is for first team, second team, third team, fourth string each to play that quarter, right, the respective quarter. So does that mean Mahomes is playing the whole first quarter? No, we've all been in this enough to know how that goes. But potentially some starters could play the entire first quarter when they take on the Jags. Injury front-wise, Cody, we did see Wanya Morris kind of walk gingerly off to the sideline a few times, got some work done, but nothing of real significance, it doesn't appear. We did also find out Joe Tooney, who has been battling back from that pec injury from last year, will not play in the preseason game Saturday.
Next up on Watch Training, the NCAA has released some punishments across the board for things related to the Michigan football program, dating back all the way to COVID-19 violations. Jeez. And illegal contact of recruits. So you're talking years and years. But not small news out of there. Jim Harbaugh got a 4-year show cause punishment for Michigan as part of those violations. Now, here's the thing. He probably wasn't going back to college in 4 years anyway. And this is probably the last coaching job he was ever planning on having anyway. His age, his going back to the NFL. He had just won the national championship. I seriously doubt he cares at all. He refused to be a part of the negotiations or the involvement, the conversations around the punishment, but he got a 4-year show cause. It might be one of the longer show causes in NCAA history. Now, obviously, sometimes people get lifetime bans, but 4 years by the NCAA on Harbaugh.
But you're right, it's worthless.
It means toothless. This is the whole NCAA's problem. Oh, you suspend. I don't even coach for you.
He had to leave Michigan because he wasn't going to be allowed to coach.
Yeah.
So he was always leaving. He knew this was happening. This shouldn't be that surprising, but it is a worthless punishment because he's never coaching in college again anyway. He's going to be with the Chargers for probably the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, it's one of those, it's like, okay, fine.
This we is, got you,
this
Jim.
This is not even the Connor Stallion stuff. That could still happen later, you know, and be more of an event. This is, as you said, some very old violations that occurred 4 years or so ago. Next up on What's Trending, news out of Pittsburgh from one of our sister stations, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, Andrew Filippone. Been all over this story involving Brandon Ayuk. He is now reporting that the Steelers, according to source, have a verbal agreement in place with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk. All the terms of the deal and contract details are being hammered out. He says the wide receiver is coming to Pittsburgh, and so that is from radio station in Pittsburgh. Brandon Ayuk could happen.
AFC North, man, just keeps getting better, guys.
Yeah, not good news for your Cincinnati Bengals.
I think what's confusing about this is this move seems both very un-49ers-like over the last 5 years and very un-Steelers-like in their history. When's the last time they traded for, gave up draft pick compensation, and then made a wide receiver or a player the highest paid of their position? Just very un-Steelers-like thing, very un-49ers-like thing. That's what makes it interesting. Next up on Watch Training, the Royals dropped Game 2 against the Red Sox last night. Seth Lugo couldn't get out of a jam. Sam Long tried to come in relief for him late in the game yesterday. They've now dropped the first two games of the series. It'll be Cole Reagans on the mound trying to salvage one against Boston tonight. 7:10 first pitch, 6:10 for Vern's On Deck Show. 6 o'clock.
No, I got you. Royals, we'll talk more about them after What's Trending, but one team has ended their losing skid. That would be the Chicago White Sox, snapped a 21-game losing skid. They were too shy.
Taylor Swift's 22 in the stands yesterday.
Too shy of the longest losing streak in baseball history. So I guess congrats to the Chicago Sox for not losing again.
Next,
and avoiding history.
Yeah, congrats. You did it. You're not the worst team that ever existed. You might still be, though. Next up on What's Trending, Josh Downs left practice earlier for the Colts, was seen in an air cast, and was taken to a local hospital. Turns out he's got a high ankle sprain, a severe one at that. They're expecting him to be out at least 1 month. You got to remember, part of the reason people are high on the Colts is they got pretty good weapons over there for Anthony Richardson. You and I, Gold, stand on the same boat. That is, I don't know anything about how good Anthony Richardson is. He looked pretty good when he played for like a handful of games. I'm not saying he's bad or good. I legit don't know about Anthony Richardson. They could be very good if he's a challenge.
Yeah, the jury is still out on him, either way, on what he can be in the NFL. But do like how they've recently built their roster. But that's a little bit of a blow to their wide receiver room heading into the start of the season. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold as we are broadcasting from Chiefs Training Camp, where our training camp coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, coming up at 12:30. We're also going to hear from Patrick Mahomes here in about 7 minutes. But I do want to talk Royals before we have Vern on as well, because this series against Boston, let's just be honest, we all know it's been disappointing. We built it up. Everybody's built it up as this big boy series. I think it is, because it's a Red Sox team that coming in was a couple games behind you in the wild card race. Now they're only a half game back as you've dropped the first two of the series. And the one thing that you have been able to count on, and certainly in almost every win, has been strength of the rotation.
Yep.
Not making mistakes on the base pass, playing great defense. And
that's what the Red Sox have done to you.
When you're playing a team like Boston, who is a potential playoff team and a pretty good baseball team, you can't make those mistakes. And so that's what's been, you know, so disappointing to me, is that Cole Reagans, we'll find out tonight, but Seth Lugo, Brady Singer, two of the strengths of this team, still are the strength of this team.
Absolutely.
In this series, though,
haven't been good.
The Boston's pitchers were better.
Mm-hmm. And the Royals couldn't get out of the jam, right? What, two nights in a row, they could have helped Singer get out of the jam, and they didn't. And they kind of helped Lugo get out of the jam, and they didn't. And it's not always their responsibility. The truth is, Lugo just shouldn't have gotten himself in a damn jam, right? That's how it normally works. But they were also unable to save him from the trouble. And both times, they scored some more runs late. They tried to claw their way back into the game, but they ultimately came up short. I think Boston might just be a bad matchup for them. But there have been, I think this is the third time this year, and we're not there yet because this is a two-game losing streak. If you think I'm going to, and they've won 16 in their last 24, if you think I'm going to run for the hills, I'm just not. But the other two times this season in which I was really worried about the Royals, where I'm like, who are they going to hold on? Can they bounce back? Can they refind it? Is it still there? It was the same thing, where it was like a bad three-day stretch, five-day stretch, week stretch out of the starting rotation. The last two games, if they said, simplify it for me, Cody, give me the single biggest reason why the Royals aren't beating the Red Sox, I'd say Lugo and Singer weren't good.
Right.
Boom. Dude, I solved it. Wow, it's crazy. There are other things at play. Isbell's made some gaffes defensively. They haven't been as sharp in the base running. I would tell you that Boston has played really good defense over these two. There's a million reasons. But simplified, they've been outpitched. And if you're going to get outpitched in the starting rotation, the Royals aren't going to win a lot of games. So it's a lot of the truth. It's a lot of Reagans tonight. There's a big, heavy burden on the back of Cole damn Reagans tonight. Get yourself back up a game and a half in the wild card and show this team why you're still their ace.
Well, they need it. They definitely need it to avoid the sweep and to lose the third wild card spot. I mean, they're a half game up, and they lose tonight. Suddenly we're talking about them being out of the playoff picture. I understand it's August the 7th, but still, now every game truly matters, and those conversations are real ones. The biggest consequence, though, truly, from these first two games of the series is the tiebreaker. It's not just the flat-out, hey, the gap is now a half game, but if they were to finish with the exact same record now of the Red Sox after 162 games, if it ends up where they both finish with, let's say, 89 wins or 90 wins, the Red Sox have the tiebreaker now. There's no fixing that. That is set in stone now, unfortunately.
Yeah. If you guys have the same record, they win.
So that, you know,
that stinks.
You hope that Boston's not, you hope the AL East can beat up on Boston a little bit down the stretch, because if you are in that third wild card spot and it's Boston and three games to go, you know,
God,
that you have to finish a game better than them now.
That would be a devastating way for the season to end. That would be it. That would be a knife to the gut.
You
That'd
think?
Be a knife to the gut. You played 100, and this is the dumb. This is why baseball has too many games. We played 162 damn games, and we're gonna let six determine
the flip side
who gets
of that,
to go to the postseason.
The
I know
side,
they're up against
the,
each other. But
well, no, but the flip side of that is, like, you had 162 games to avoid the tiebreaker.
I know. I just never feel that way. It just feels so, like, silly. This might be the biggest start Cole Reagans has made this year. The biggest start Brady Singer made all year was the third damn game of the season when they were trying to avoid being swept to start the year, and they were able to recover it. And I can think of ones when Lugo and Reagans and others have stopped losing streaks, have stopped bad stretches. But this is a team who's trying to steal your playoff spot for today. I understand there's still 5-6 weeks left in the season. But today, they're trying to steal, or seven, they're trying to steal your damn, they're trying to steal the thing you have and that you won. And because the Guardians and the Twins have kept losing, you haven't lost any ground on them, really. Still game and a half back on the Twins, still 5.5 games back of the Guardians. But the Red Sox are the ones staring you down right now. Don't let them take your lunch today.
I do think
hold them off for another day.
I do think it's fair, though, to bring up where they're at against perceived playoff teams, right? That's, you know, do I think the Royals are showing that they're just not up to the playoff competition? I don't buy that fully, but there is a conversation that is fair when you think about how they have performed against who we perceive to be playoff teams, whether it's Boston, whether it's Minnesota, Guardians, Mariners, I guess. And, you know, what was the number you get? Whether 6 under .500, 7 under .500 against those?
10 and 18.
Okay, so eight under .500 against perceived
current playoff teams, like ones actively in the postseason.
And so is that concerning? Sure, but I also believe if you think about teams that are wild cards in most years, how many of those wild card teams are, you know, beating up or
they're
above
20 and 10 against?
Probably not. You wouldn't be a wild card team. Like, if the Royals were also really good, then they would
You'd be leading the American League.
Correct. So for me, like, it's worth the conversation, but it's not the end of the world. Like, well, the Royals have shown they're fraudulent and they're just that. No, that's BS. But they have been really good against below 500 teams, average teams, and they're under 500 against the others. That has to balance out, and it is starting to balance out a little bit, but they are still in the position where the schedule itself is going to fix this. Like, we're going to be sitting here in mid-September, and, yeah, if they're suddenly three back in the wild card, it's going to mean the answer to the question that we're posing here and people are asking.
They couldn't beat enough good teams.
And if they are in the playoffs, well, then it's going to, then that problem is solved. It's kind of simple. Like, I'm not worried about sitting here saying, like, well, they've shown now they can't beat Boston, so that just means they're not a playoff team. I don't think that's true. Now, I wouldn't, you know, right now, would you want Boston in the playoffs? Probably not.
No, but you're not likely to also face Boston in the playoffs. The odds of it lining up that way are actually pretty low because of the way it's currently structured. But Boston's also, I'm not going to come in here, I'm going to be upset, and we're going to talk about why they lost or how they lost or any of these things, just like anything else on a Thursday. But I'm also not going to tell you season's over tomorrow if they lose this game tonight. Boston has taken this spot from them before. And guess who still ended up 2.5, 3.5 games of this team? The Royals did. They found a way to get back on top. They are still playing more consistently good baseball than Boston. Boston is playing better baseball against them. Because that's what sucks. Had you just flipped this against Boston, you'd be 5 games up in the wild card, Gold. If you were the team with 4 wins instead of Boston, you'd have a massive gap against the team there. So you have been playing some better baseball, and Boston still has to play a lot of teams under AL East remaining, so there's plenty of difficulty left in their schedule. But this just feels like a big swing game. Keep your leverage. Keep it so that you could lose the next night and Boston wins the next night and you still aren't out of the playoff spot. Keep pace with the Guardians and the Twins where you are. Just it just feels like a big swing. And it's cold damn Reagan's on the mound. So I got high expectations for him, especially in big moments. If I think they have a chance to win in the postseason, Cole Reagan's going to have to win a game when they desperately need him to. And so that's why this game, that's why I feel like I'm putting more on this game than maybe I should. I don't know.
We'll talk to Vern about it coming up in 15 minutes. Our Royals insider, Josh Vern, you're going to join us. But we are here at Chiefs training camp. Let's go back to the media tent where Patrick Mahomes was speaking to the media about heading into this preseason game and what he's seeing from the young wide receivers.
No, I'm extremely excited. I mean, obviously for me to go out there and play with these guys and showcase what we have the ability to do, but to learn from our mistakes too. I mean, you want to go out there and play for real and play against someone else. I'm tired of going against Spags and every defense known to man. And so I think just going out there, letting the guys play, make decisions under fire and have them make those right decisions and learn from the mistakes after.
Have you seen some things up here that tell you that things can be a little different when the season starts as far as the passing game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the speed, we're going to be able to hit guys over the top. But I think the biggest thing is you want to be able to do both. And I think that's something that we've worked on all camp is you got to be able to hit the guys over the top. And then when the defenses play deep, you have to be able to hit the medium type things. And then we have to be able to run the football. And that's what makes great offenses great is just having the ability to do all of that. And so as much as I want to throw a deep every single play, I think just being able to do everything is going to be the biggest part of our offense.
Patrick, there's been a lot of depth out there at wide receiver and just the competition involved some of these few spots for so many people that are probably really good at making any team in this league. What have you assessed from the receiver battle out there and how everybody's fighting for that job?
Yeah, I think what I've loved the most is how much they root for each other. I mean, you can see it out there. I mean, when guys make plays, everybody's going out there to celebrate. And we have a lot of good guys that are playing hard and all making plays against a great defense. And so it's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be the perfect play or whatever like that, but they're all competing every single time. They're rooting for each other, and that's what you want in the receiving room is a good group of guys that are talented.
How do you feel physically compared for the last year? Because win 3 Super Bowls in a row is almost impossible for a lot of teams. How do you feel physically, and how do you see your team?
I mean, I feel great physically. I think guys have the right mindset. I mean, at the end of the day, all you can do is focus on today. Obviously, we want to win 3 in a row. But we know just as much as anybody is that you got to execute today at practice in St. Joe in order to do that. And so if you take a day-by-day type process, the hope is at the end of the year you can go out there and get that ring. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if we can hit people deep, it's going to make the safeties get back. And then they'll open up more space in that medium part of the field. And I mean, y'all have seen Rasheed's had a great camp, and so has Travis, so has guys like Noah and Wiley. I mean, it's if you can open it up down the field with those speed guys, that threat opens the whole entire field up. And so I'm excited for it, as well as just letting those speed guys work in that intermediate range as well. And so it's about being having a diverse offense, being able to go out there and attack in different ways. And I'm excited for the opportunity to go out there and show it.
Well, it seems like your connection with Xavier downfield is getting pretty good. What have you seen from him, and how do you think that he might change what you guys are able to do specifically?
Yeah, no, Xavier, he does a great job. Obviously, he's fast, but it's almost like he runs fast, but he can run with pace fast. And so he's able to track the ball really well. He runs a lot of great routes, and he's going to get as physical a camp as any here. So, I mean, he's done a great job trying to fight off press as best as he can, getting through there and making plays happen. And so he'll keep getting better and better. I mean, if he can get through this camp, he'll be able to get through a lot of stuff. So I'm excited for him and how he's kind of progressed throughout the camp.
Isaiah told us that he worked with their receiver coach in the offseason. What have you seen from him? Has his hands been a lot better?
Yeah, he's done a great job. He would run routes. Coach Reed would put him out there and let him run some type of route, some shorter routes, some deeper routes that he hadn't ran before, and some read routes that necessarily aren't for running backs. And he's done a great job with that. He wants to be great. I mean, he's done a great job running the football for us. He's done a great job catching out of the backfield. But if he can catch it from the slot or from a receiver type position, it's just going to help him be even a better football player.
John Gruden out here. What has it meant for you being out here? What has he told you?
Yeah, it's always great to hear offensive minds, and then obviously someone that we've went up against, so you kind of can listen to ways that they were trying to go against us and combating stuff that we did well. And then him and Coach Reed have a long history, and so just to hear them talk about old school football plays is always cool for me, being a football historian. And so it's been fun to have him out here and just listen to him talk about football.
We'll go across the room. Go ahead, sir.
I know Kingsley's a talented kid, but he's a rookie, and there's so many things you're processing on each play, but is that an extra alarm that's there that maybe you got to be a little quicker? Or, is that something you kind of look over your shoulder, or you just let it fly?
Yeah, and you got to just trust that he's going to go out there and make the plays happen. He's done a great job this camp. going against a lot of different type of rushers. Obviously, it's going to be a great challenge. I don't know how much their starters are going to play, but going against the defense ends with Walker and with Allen Hines. And so I think just him going up against some of the best is going to even bring out the best in him. And that's what you have to expect. And then for everybody, I mean, everybody that's going to be out there. And so that's what it's all about. I got to trust in those guys in order to go out there and play the game that I want to play. And so I'll let him go out there and be the football player that he's been on camp.
PJ. Patrick, I know last season kind of forced y'all to grind games a little more, just with the newfound speed and the ability. Just how do you think that Andy and Matt will call the game, just trying to find that balance between going deep and getting those shots and make sure they grind out, taking time off the line?
Yeah, I think it's just about being smart, and I think more than even coach calling the game, it's got to be about me making the right decisions. I mean, he's going to call plays that have shots in them, but every time he calls a play that has a shot in there, there's plays for me to get underneath and get to the right guy. And so it's about him, Coach Reed, Coach Nagy, me, and all the other coaches talking it through throughout the week, knowing when we take the shots, when we want to be aggressive, what the situation is in the football game, and take it and be aggressive. But at the same time, when it's not there, get underneath to these guys, let them make plays. That's what I've learned over my time is got to be making the right decisions out there at the end of the day.
Patrick, you're obviously always on the other end of this, but what do you perceive to be the challenges of tracking a ball for a receiver? And why can some guys do it really well, and why is it a struggle for others?
I mean, it's hard. You're running full speed, trying to catch a football in the air and not knowing if you're going to get hit the moment you catch the football. I mean, it's a tough job as any, I think, in the world, because you can catch the ball and get your cleats knocked off you. So, I commend those guys, man. It's hard to track a football running full speed. The ball, I throw it high, throw it far. But I always let them know that I'm the best at tracking the football. I grew up just shagging BP, so I'm pretty nice at it myself, but I wasn't getting hit.
Patrick, you always talk about getting that first hit out of the way, especially the season started. How excited are you about, trying to probably getting that next hit?
I already took my first hit. You didn't see Chris the other day? He just smoked me. No, it's cool. I always want to get hit but not hit hard. So if I can just throw the ball and one of those DNs just wants to just give me a little push, that's all I need. So, it's cool. I like playing in the preseason, honestly. Getting in there, trying to make sure that we're doing stuff the right way, and then getting out, trying to keep everybody healthy.
Lockdown, what does that offer you? I know he's a captain. I know he's made some big kicks for you all. What does it mean to have him back here?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I mean, for me, it's just getting in field goal range in some of these situations. And then, like, at the end of the Super Bowl last year, and obviously we want to score a touchdown in that situation, but knowing that once we cross the 50 that we're pretty much good to at least get to overtime, it's something that's – it's I don't even know what the word is. It's something that you have to just rely on, and it's something that's just fun to have, honestly. I mean, knowing that you don't even have to worry because that guy's going to knock it through. And so I'm glad they were able to get the deal done, and he can go out there and just kick field goals.
A couple of quick things here that maybe aren't important. Your reaction to being number 4 on the top 100 list?
It's kind of – it is what it is. At the end of the day, all I can do is go out there and just play the sport that I love, and then the rankings are the rankings.
And this is a weird question. I remember talking to you in the offseason. The helmet that broke against Miami, you wanted to get that back. Did you ever get that back?
I haven't got it back yet. I'm trying to get it back still. I mean, Allen just sometimes just is kind of – he's kind of lazy. I'm just not going to say it, but it's just a little bit.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes.
What did Allen Wright do?
Dang, just calling out the equipment guy.
Allen's a really nice guy.
He has been with the team for a very long time. I don't know what stood out to you. There was one thing that I don't know if we've brought it up slightly, but I don't know if it's a big enough talking point, and we should not be a surprise now if it happens in the season. What I'm talking about is Isaiah Pacheco as the receiver, because we noticed him getting specialized work on the side as a pass protector. Part of being a pass protector means they want you out there in passing downs as well, and you can leak out. And so if he's a better receiver after working with the wide receiver coach and all that, and no Jerick McKinnon anymore, and I think Pacheco's reps are going to be up this year anyway.
Way more.
And now is are we going to see an increase in some of his receiving numbers? And could all of a sudden Isaiah Pacheco be even more dynamic than what he was? We know he slimmed down in addition to getting a receiving coach. Here were his numbers receiving in his first 2 years. 13 catches, 130. Last year he did have 44 catches, which is a good number.
The yardage 244,
only 5.5. So let's say all of a sudden he's getting 40 to 50 catches, but can that average bump up and
it's
he could
be a
bigger impact there?
Well, I'll just tell you, the deep passing game will help that right away.
Screen game,
but also
back.
If you're just better at it, yeah, I think so. I do think that what we talked about, you heard Patrick, he said Noah Gray And Wiley and Kelsey have all had great camps. Why? Because the deep passing game's open, which means the middle of the field is open, which means tight ends and running backs. Those are the guys who get the true benefit of if there's an occasional deep ball that you can actually trust. And so, yeah, I do think Pacheco should matter more in the passing game this year. I think it's a similar number of catches for just better yardage. Try to get to that 450 range. That's what really good receiving backs can do.
Coming up next, we get right back into the Royals, who try to avoid the sweep tonight against Boston. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joins us. We'll ask him if he agrees with how this series has gone, and does these losses at this point against a team like Boston actually mean that they can't beat playoff teams?
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So we'll get to that next. Back here in St. Joe, we are broadcasting live from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 15 minutes or so, plus some comments from Mayor Quinn Lucas in the 1 o'clock hour. He was up here at Chiefs training camp, kind of the annual visit that he and some other dignitaries make, and he was asked by Harold Kuntz over at Fox 4 a little bit about the latest on the stadium front. So we'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour. But let's talk some Royals baseball with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. His on-deck show tonight, 6 o'clock, as the Royals try to avoid the sweep of the Boston Red Sox. Let's start with this series, and we can talk bigger picture, Vern. Is it fair to say, though, just the strengths of this Royals team all year, in particular a guy like Lugo, a guy like Brady Singer being part of that, they just haven't been as good as Boston?
Well, yeah, without question. Starting pitching in the five games against Boston, one quality start has equated to their one victory, a Michael Massey error yesterday, a free 90 feet given away by Kyle Isbell. Inability to take the extra base like they've done so often this season. Themselves as an offense. Look, Boston has come to Kansas City these past two games and outpitched, outdefended, and run the bases better. And it you know what it is, we see this every October, where that slugging offense in the American League, the Minnesota Twins in years previous, they, extra base machines over the course of 162. They get to the playoffs and their strength is nullified by great pitching in the postseason. If your strength the thing that has carried you all season isn't a strength against another good team, well, you're likely to lose because Boston has the better offense. Boston has a legitimate closer. So the Royals need a quality start from Lugo, from Singer, and that's the thing that really stinks about this is that three-game set at Fenway was Singer, Lugo, Reagans. This three-game series at Kauffman Stadium is once again Singer, Lugo, and Reagans. To think that they could go, well, they're 1-4 right now, and yet they've only been outscored by 6 runs in those 5 games. So that makes it sting even more that it is because of defense, base running, and starting pitching. Because I'm not pointing to the bullpen. Right? The bullpen has been one of, if not the weakest link all season. Of course,
sure.
You need to overcome that. Now, and real quick, Brady Singer didn't pitch poorly. It was a very pro outing, I thought, a very Michael Wacha-esque performance from Brady Singer. And yesterday, I mean, who knows what that performance from Seth Lugo looks like if Michael Massey's able to get one out on that ground ball. Maybe turn two on that play. They didn't pitch to their standard. I'll give you that, as the Royals rotation coming into this series was averaging a quality start in 50% of the games, and so far they haven't done that. So they were good, but this team needs them to be great.
Vern, they have, almost as many games as anyone in baseball at scoring 10 or more runs. Like the Royals do run into some games where they just throw up massive numbers. Isn't it? Maybe this is just because baseball's weird and we could just chalk it up to that, Vern. It's never in the game in which they're giving up 11, Like, the game where, you need them to score 12 is never the game where they're also giving up to 9 to Boston the other day. They've got runs, or they're scoring runs, but it's never, I kind of want to see them win that game one time where it's 13-12 and they just had to outslug somebody once.
Yeah, I'd be curious of how many games they've had where they've given up double-digit runs to where the 12 runs are
needed,
necessary. Because when I look at the run differential, which is still one of the best in all of Major League Baseball, I don't see, that's an offensive number. That's a reflection of this Royals lineup. Now to me, the run differential and where this team ranks is a direct reflection of your elite rotation, a squad that's given you the second most innings in baseball, a top 5 ERA, and again, a quality start at almost 50% of your games this season. So, you know what this offense is. It's Bobby, Salvi, Vinny, and then we're looking for a few others to contribute, and everyone else just do your job. And, middle of the lineup delivered last night. Unfortunately, the defense, base running, and starting pitching was unable to live up to that standard.
You can narrow the field a little bit so we don't have to try to figure out who is hitting 2-3-4 or where the 1-2-3 hitters essentially from a talent perspective. But in the time you've covered the Royals, where do Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi based on their current level of play rank? Because they are going to rely on a lot of offense from that heart of the order. Is it better than the 14-15 middle of the order? Where does it rank for you?
Yeah, the 2-3-4 of the championship team was what? Moose, Kane, Haas?
Yeah.
It was.
Maybe Moose, Salvi right behind that, but yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr.'s the best player,
sure.
Right? Salvi's better than that Salvi from back in 14 and 15. And, Vinny Pasquantino has age on his side, that I would give him a slight edge over a guy like Kendrys Morales. To me, that 2-3-4 is better than they were in 2014, better than what they were in 2015. But, 15 had... 15. I mean, Ben Zobrist to go along with Kendrys Morales and
they're
and
one through
young
six.
Salvador Perez.
Better,
right.
Like the way I look at and that's probably the fair way to put it. I would just, when you think about their offense, it's why I do think this year is important. I want them to win. I want them to win the damn World Series. I think they can win because of their starting rotation.
You've been saying damn a lot today.
But
a lot.
But also I don't fear what the future holds, because there's been a lot of years in Royals history where they were still in the offseason seeking a middle of the order bat. And because Vinny and, Salvi's got at least a few more years and Bobby's right. under contract forever, I don't fear the middle of the order for a while. It gives me a lot of confidence that there's some staying power.
Yeah, and did you see Jack Caglione's swing yesterday when he
Dude,
wrote
he hit
that double to right field? man, that dude just looms in the box. You know he's not far. You throw him into the mix. Carter Jensen's 21 and picking up right where he left off as he's been promoted to Double A. He looks like a hitting machine. Blake Mitchell's the best hitter down in the Carolina League. So, yeah, not only does this core, you could throw Michael Massey in there. You know, if Michael Garcia could stop beating himself up and start focusing on the opposition, that would be helpful. But it also appears, Cody, that those guys that give you a type of comfort you haven't felt in a very long time, I think there might be a few others on the way as well.
We're talking to Vern, his on-deck show tonight, 6 o'clock, as the Royals take on the Red Sox here on 610 Sports Radio. When you see how they have performed against Boston or these other perceived playoff teams or teams that would be in the playoffs right now and they're 7-8 games under 500, I guess how concerning is that? Because I've seen, I'm sure you got plenty of calls about it over the last few nights, but we've even seen on the text line during our show, well, the Royals have just shown they just can't beat any playoff team anyway, and they're just a product of beating up on the bad teams. I would imagine most wild card teams fare pretty well against the quote-unquote bad teams, and their record is a little more lopsided in the negative side when they're going up against better competition. Isn't this kind of how normally wild card teams are?
Yeah, I'm sure. And there's really two ways to look at it. First of all, there are only four teams in baseball that have the opportunity to play the Chicago White Sox 13 times. Yeah. It's not the Royals' fault that they're in the American League Central, and it's not their fault that Cleveland's gone 5-5 against Chicago. It's not the Royals' fault that they have dominated their division unlike anybody else in the American League. You know, I look across the parking lot, and that's what we praise Andy Reid for, is dominating the division. Focus on the division. Win your divisional games. Royals are doing that right now. You know, too bad the Yankees and Orioles and Rays and Blue Jays have to beat up on one another. The Royals get 26 games against Detroit and another, you know, and the Chicago White Sox, and they've dominated those games. They took the season series from Detroit. They dominated the White Sox. They've taken 4 of 6 from the Cleveland Guardians, and they have a chance to even up the season series with the Minnesota Twins coming up next week. So, you know, I'm sorry about being in the American League Central. I thought we all understood that there were some bad teams in this division. Good for the Royals to benefit off of that and to handle their business unlike anybody else in this division. Secondly, though, yeah, listen. There's a stretch, we talked about it last week, that 20 straight games against playoff teams. Okay, there you go. That will be our test to see if this team can make the playoffs, win their division, beat good teams. What's happened in the first 115 games, if we're being honest, it doesn't matter, right? You're here. 47 games to go. Of those 47 games, 35 are against teams at or above 500. They're going to get their chance to write their own story. So far, they've beaten Cleveland. They have a winning record against another first-place team in Milwaukee, 500 against another first-place team in Seattle. But we like to, you know, nitpick here and there, and it's okay. Yeah, they've been worked over by Boston. I don't think the Yankees saw them at their best. And you know, San Diego, we could talk about the other ones, but so what, man? That's in the past. Just like Mike Moustakas' 2014 at the end of 162, that was in the past. All that matters is what you do moving forward. Same thing can be said. You know, I made this point about Seth Lugo. Seth Lugo could still have this great year, not remembered for being great. I mean, does anyone talk about Jason Vargas's 2000s to a similar outstanding start as Seth Lugo, but then the team faltered down the stretch because they couldn't find 7, 8, 9th inning guys? They had some injuries, and no one remembers Jason Vargas's 2017. That can still happen to Seth Lugo. That can happen to a lot of guys inside that dugout because these final 47 games are all we're going to remember.
Should we be more, or should we be frustrated at all, Vern, that the Royals spent, I would say, a huge majority of their trade assets making the bullpen better, right? They went after Harvey and Urseg, but I still feel like we're in the same boat where I'm like, yeah, I don't really know who they're going to or who to trust or who's pitching next. And, you know, Goldeneye pointed out that we're tired of the fan sentiment that is like, well, it's this guy's turn because then that guy's going to have a bad day. It's just going to be like, Zerpa should close, and then he'll get rocked, or Long should, and then he'll get like, it's tiring a little bit. But should there be a few more firm answers considering what they did at the deadline?
You hope so, but again, to bring up 2017, that was the year that they made the move to bring in Trevor Cahill and Brandon Maurer and Ryan Buchter and guys that were putting up impressive numbers in the National League, and they came to Kansas City, and they were booed. Brandon Maurer was booed very quickly into his Royals tenure. So yeah, you would love to find stability in the rotation. You would love to, in the bullpen. You would love to find consistency, but you know, if there was someone in that bullpen pitching consistently or stumbled upon consistency, you know, they'd be the closer. They would have been a closer in their previous spots. Hunter Harvey would have been the ninth inning guy instead of Finnegan. Urseg would have gotten the ball instead of Mason Miller, but there was someone just a little bit better, right? So the reason why you're not a closer and the reason why you're not a starting pitcher is because you're inconsistent, and that's what the Royals have a collection of out in the bullpen, are inconsistent arms. Although, as I say that, you know, credit to Will Smith. This guy's got an ERA of like 1.5 since the middle of April. Chris Bubich has been solid. His ERA, 1.5, he's thrown up scoreless outings in 8 of his first 9 since debuting. So, and Lucas Ursic has been outstanding. So there's three right there that should make you feel good if you're ever expecting, and I'm not saying you, Cody, but the listeners, if you're expecting or the reincarnation of HDH, we know that's not going to happen. And if you're expecting, let me just put it, if you're expecting 4-plus arms to put you at ease coming out of the bullpen, I just don't think you've been watching enough Major League Baseball, because since HDH, everybody's been trying to recreate that, and no one's done it. You know, everyone's searching for bullpen arms because that's what wins in October. So you just hold on tight and hope that you have a hot bullpen coming up in the middle of September.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Listen to him tonight on Deck Show, 6 o'clock before the Royals wrap up their series against the Red Sox. Cole Reagans gets the nod right here on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you.
There you go. Good stuff as always from Vern. Yeah, the bullpen thing, it's he mentions Will Smith. It's true. He's like, Will Smith's been really good, actually, statistically, and yet that was a guy that after 3 weeks of the season, people wanted to run out, you know, and now we're back to, like, now we want Will Smith again. So that speaks to the issues they've had. Like, you're right. There's this carousel of what fans have wanted, and that speaks to not having consistency. And Vern's right. You're not going to have 4. However, I would argue, have 1 or 2 right now? I don't know.
Bubich and Ursek right now.
But they have.
My fear is that
Ursek hasn't been pitching in those spots yet.
No, he hasn't. And I fear that, like, the sample size is part of the issue we're talking about with Bubich, where I want to believe him, I want to trust, but I need more time. I think maybe tomorrow we can have a separate conversation about whether or not you would be comfortable with Will Smith being the closer of this team again, because
Cody, I'm comfortable with anybody that can get the job done. Nobody should care about the names anymore. Like, honestly, like,
yeah.
I don't care
who's pitching the best at that moment.
I do not care who the names are. I don't care at all. But on August the 7th, who is pitching the best, which is obviously a very tough thing to just figure out. But like, who's pitching the best, and who do you trust the most if you're Q? I don't care what the name is, whether it was a guy that you gave up on, quote-unquote, in April, whether it was a guy that a week ago you thought wasn't the guy. Whoever, truly, it doesn't matter. If it means reverting back to Will Smith, if it means that it's Serpa, I don't think it is. But, like, whoever, the name should not matter anymore. Whatever view you
recent
had on a certain player in April or in July doesn't matter.
No, recent performance. If they're on a hot 5-game streak, well, they're in tonight. That's for damn sure. And if they're on a cold 2-game streak, well, then you're pitching in the 6th when the game's 5-2 or 7-2 or anything else in between. I'm not way off the base of that. That doesn't seem crazy. All right, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over on the text line, 913-586-7610. Of course, you can hit us up over on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, 610 Sports KC. If you curious to watch the video, that's where we exist over there. The question I have for you today is once again related to kids, but also adults. So I want to know where you stand on this, because, all right, so we got to go pick up some just regular school supply stuff at Target.
New backpack.
Kids ask if they can have a new backpack. That did not go down. I did have to get a new water bottle, but only because one broke.
Gotcha.
Okay, it broke, so we had to get Desmond a new water bottle. But we were picking up some of the normal, you know, Target-related things. The kids asked if they could go to Target. They have, you know, like allowance-type money that they get from Emma's parents and stuff, and they asked if they could bring some. So we set, like, a standard amount. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you can bring $10 and look for something, because we make them save a little.
Yeah.
But The question is going to be related to what happens after, so I'll explain. The question I have for you today is, are you okay, or is it okay, to give someone birthday gifts early? The reason why I ask this, it's about 10 days till Desmond's birthday, or it was yesterday, it's now 9. So Desmond's birthday's coming up, he gets his 10 bucks, and he's locked in. He's found the thing. It is this stuffed animal that relates to other two stuffed animals he had. This thing is at the closet, at home. Okay, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. Yeah. And he's determined that this is how he's going to spend his $10. And I don't want him to waste his $10. Not waste. And I, honest to God, don't want to go back to return the one I bought.
Okay.
So I eventually just in That's Target tough. Gave up and said, look, kid, spend your 10 bucks somewhere else. That's at home and you can have it tonight. I quit. I don't want you to spend your 10 bucks on something I already have. I'm not looking to return it. So Desmond got one of his. He'll get a few. One of his small birthday gifts, it was $10, early. He got it last night, had a bunch of fun with it. He'll get the rest of his gifts later.
I don't think there's any issue with one gift being given early. I know, as I can speak from my own experience, as a kid, there were a couple times where I would get a birthday gift early for a variety of reasons, whatever it would be. I think that's fine, especially in your circumstance here where, like, he was going to buy the gift, and you're like, no, don't buy the gift.
I couldn't shake him, dude. I was trying to convince him into other toys.
I don't think there's a problem with this. I'm not saying to give him all the gifts. Like one particular present early if it's a certain reason for it.
Sometimes it's a big gift, though. Yeah. I'm guilty of an early gift giving sometimes.
I don't think there's
a problem. Like, I'm excited, and I think that they'll like it, and then I'm like, I don't care. Just have it now, even though maybe it is 2 weeks or a week until your birthday. Is there anything wrong with giving someone a gift early?
I mean, maybe I'm just saying this because it happened to me multiple times as a kid, and so I'm like, that's
You say consistency you got, or consistency?
I don't know, consistently. There are definitely, I can think of the gifts right now. I mean, one of them was the year the GameCube came out. You guys remember the GameCube,
sure.
The purple GameCube?
Yeah. And it was meant for Christmas.
I was not supposed to have it until Hanukkah, and so I was able to, you're good, doesn't matter. I was basically able to, I talked my mom into letting me, and parents into letting me have that like 3 weeks early because I knew it was there. Mm. The console just come out.
And so, like, come on, I want to play
so
the
I
game.
Was, so I got
but
that
it
early.
Like you bullied him into it. It wasn't even just like a their decision thing.
Yeah.
Was there another time?
I think birthday gift. Like maybe there was something I was trying to buy, right? And I knew I was going to get cash or a gift card, and I was able to get that early.
Able to get it early? He wasn't even trying to convince
him. Yeah, yours was just because you were.
I was trying to convince him into buying something else, and I'm like, I'm not going back to Target to return this thing. So I need you to choose a different toy. But it was like
someone said you should have lied to your kid. Just give him a reason not to buy it other than that you already have it.
I don't know. I try not to lie to my kids.
Yeah, no,
for the most part. I get cuz I could have just said, "Hey, it costs too much." But he can read. He knows math. I'm not fooling him. He knows what $10 or $9 looks like on a price tag. I'm not going to stump him on that. So he would figure it out, and he was so excited. I was just like, "Dude, I got it at home. It's fine." He's like, oh, and they played with it the rest of the night. Everyone was fine. Didn't have to spend his 10 bucks. But, you know, like I didn't know how often you guys give something early. Drew, you ever give a gift early? Does your wife give a gift early?
Giving gifts? Normally, no. Like my wife will say, what did you get me? And it's like, I'm not going to. She tries to mooch, I think, enough for her to get a gift early, I guess. I try not to. But every now and then I'll just say, sure, you can have it. It's fine.
So you're saying she would like the gifts early.
Yeah,
Alex doesn't like to wait. He doesn't like to not know things.
I like waiting because I like the idea of waiting, and it pays off, I guess, because you get the gifts, whatever. But
I get too excited sometimes, and I'm like, just have it.
My mom.
If it's a gift that I'm really proud of getting, I give it early.
My mom in particular was ridiculously good at convincing me, my brother, and my sister that we shouldn't get something because if we wanted something that she knew she got, she would find a way for us to just distract our attention or something to some, you know, we would wait, you know, there, and then eventually, yeah, we would get it. For some reason, she was always very good at that. However, other than one time, similar to gold, the PlayStation 3, this is a long
always
time ago.
It's always the console.
Yeah. No,
they released those things around Christmas for a reason.
This is the thing, though. I stood in line with her at midnight on Black Friday to get the gift. She would not let me play it until Christmas. So I knew I knew I got it.
You had it for a month.
I knew I got it, but I had to
wait. That's ice cold.
I think I kind of learned my lesson, I guess, in terms of like begging at that point. Like, you know, it's not even worth it. But she made me wait a whole month. Yeah.
That's almost the exact same scenario because mine was, you guys remember Hastings back in the day? I think they've closed all of them. Drew, it was like an entertainment store.
Sure.
Anyway, there was a midnight, I don't know, it was midnight, it was like 5 a.m. You had to get a ticket to get the GameCube or the Xbox or the PlayStation. And I knew I wanted the GameCube, so we had to get, our ticket was drawn to have the right to buy the GameCube. But I knew I wanted it. It was going to be for a gift, but my mom and I stood in line at 5 in the morning for that, and that's how it happened. I didn't get it that day. I didn't get to play the GameCube that day. I had to wait for multiple weeks, but it was still early.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, very, very, very similar.
So it says, Cody, you're letting the inmates run the asylum. Put your foot down.
Put my foot down. I told him we had already set guidelines. He got to bring a small amount of his money. He has to save the rest. I don't tell them what they can't spend their $10 on. It's $10. You can only buy maybe 15 things at all of Target. He just happened to choose it. And I was going to be like, no, not that thing. But why? Papa, why? Because you can't. That's why.
Also, I'll say, too, like we're talking about a $10. Yeah, that's also the difference. We're talking about a $10 gift here.
I didn't have, a brand-new bike for him, and then I'm like, you know, it was a $10 gift.
I think the stuffed animal, $10 stuffed animal or whatever you said, that is also part of the equation here.
Yeah, normally, so I don't know why my parents did this. I guess they didn't have, a sit-down with us, but they asked us, they said, do you want a bigger Christmas or a bigger birthday? And we established from 5 years old, we like bigger Christmases. So we only got one gift for our birthday. That was it. You got one thing. And then Christmas was always normally a little bit bigger. So that was why it was always a little bit of a bigger deal, I guess, for us. But I can't remember getting a birthday present early, I guess. But if I did, it wasn't that big of a deal. Or Christmas, they wanted us to wait for Christmas.
I don't know, maybe starting first or second grade. My parents were divorced, and not that's when they got divorced, but they were
divorced. No, I got you. Yeah.
And they each gave us $50, and I got to spend $100 however the hell I wanted.
Yeah.
So, they didn't buy me something specific. I just got to go spend that $100. I remember specifically buying stuff at the Venture around the corner, right? I just got to go where I wanted to go, spend that $100 how I wanted to spend it.
Last one here, then we got a break. Someone says, Cody, the bigger question, why did you get the birthday gift so early, though?
I'm a planner, you know?
You just knew that's what he wanted.
I just knew that was going to be a part of. I have other gifts for him
done.
Early as well. I already have some of the other birthday gifts for him, you know? I don't buy them all 48 hours in advance. Too tight.
All right, guys. Coming up next, we continue our coverage live here at Chiefs Training Camp. We're broadcasting live from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. We're going to hear what Mayor Q had to say at camp today. He was asked about the stadium conversations and if anything has changed, plus a couple surprises on the Chiefs depth chart ahead of this preseason game right here on 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.